When you are long-suffering and patient with those who persecute you for the sake of your faith, for those who harass you at the workplace because of your faith, you are truly demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. When you are long-suffering and patient in overcoming sin, in overcoming temptation, in having victory over sin and temptation, you are truly demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit.
Welcome to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef, author of more than 50 inspiring and thought-provoking books, including his latest, Winning the Invisible War. Exercising patience is one of the most difficult challenges in life, whether with your spouse, child, co-worker, or sometimes it's even harder with God. Today on Leading the Way, Dr. Youssef gives you a look at patience through a biblical lens. Hear how trusting God helps you experience fruit and growth as you journey through life. To begin, here's Dr. Michael Youssef.
If you go to any bookstore trying to find a book on patience, you will not find it. Trust me, I tried. I thought I might get some help somewhere, but I couldn't find a book on patience. And I finally came to the conclusion that probably there are very few authors who feel qualified to write on the subject, including yours truly. And very few people can develop, let alone maintain patience. But I am convinced ultimately that in this fast-paced society in which we live and in which we crave for instant food and instant drink and instant publishing and speed dialing and even antique being manufactured while you wait, that in this kind of a situation, patience becomes irrelevant to people. And under these conditions, there's no such publisher who wants to publish a book on patience. He knows nobody's going to buy it. But here's the real problem. I want you to listen to me carefully today, please, because I do speak out of experience. Here's the problem, and it's a major problem, is that most Christians are being carried along by this current of culture. And therefore, instead of resisting it and stand firm, we go along with it. Not only that, but we bring this kind of thinking, this kind of impatience into the Christian faith. We bring it into the Church of Jesus Christ. We bring it into our lives, just as the world does. So we want instant prayer being answered and instant holiness and instant worship and instant sermons. Now let me tell you at the outset, I am no expert on the subject. I have some experience with it, but not an expert. As a matter of fact, I know less about this subject than probably some of you. I often remind myself when I find myself in one of those situations that it took Noah 6 months to find a parking spot. If Satan can sap your strength in the skirmishes of life, he doesn't have to fight you in the big battle. If Satan gets you in the little things of life, he has already defeated you in the spiritual battlefield. If Satan succeeds in getting his little foxes to come under your spiritual fence, he knows that he has already destroyed the vine. And that is why it is very important to understand what the Bible says about patience. Now, we use the word, like everything else, out of context and different reasons to suit us, but we must understand, what does Scripture say? What does the word mean in the Bible? The Greek word is this, makrothumia. It's one word, but I'm pronouncing it as if it's two. Makrothumia. And the reason for this is it's translated patience, it's translated long-suffering, it's translated slow to anger. All those things are the right translation. But really, it's two words joined together to make up of one word in the Greek, one word in the English. Makrothumia. One means anger, and the other one means slow or long. It can be translated either way. In other words, half of the Greek word for patience means anger. Half of the word means anger. And the other half means long or slow. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, the Bible tells us that slowness to anger is one of the characteristics of our God. Slow to anger and abounding in love. Now, the Bible speaks about the anger of God. And I want to plead with you today. Please, whatever you do, I don't want you to misunderstand me, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. Because today, many Christians want to eliminate that part of God's character. They do not want to speak about the anger of God, the wrath of God, or the justice of God. And this is why, how they come up with it, and the reason for it. And the danger of interpreting life or the Christian life through your experience is going to lead you not only to disbelieving and distrusting the Word of God, but it's going to lead you to apostasy altogether. Because people think of anger as they've experienced it in life, whether they've seen it in a father, a mother, or a grandfather, in the home, or out in the school, or somewhere. Because to them, anger means vindictiveness. They saw anger to be the flying off the handle. And therefore, they said, surely that's not how our God is. They are right and they are wrong. That's not the anger of God. And that is why you must understand that when the Bible talks about the anger of God or the justice of God or the wrath of God, it is inexorably linked to His love. The two go together. You cannot split them. Let me explain this. Because God loves humanity that He created, His anger is directed toward anything or anyone who mars that masterpiece of the masterpieces. It is God's love that caused Him to pour His wrath upon His Son on the cross of Calvary. It is because of His love that He's angry over sin. It is because of His love that He's angry with Satan. It is because of His love that He's angry, and His anger will be manifested one day. To emphasize the love of God, so many people deny the anger of God or the wrath of God or the justice of God. And when you do that, you're going to end up with an image of a God who is weak and lazy and could not be bothered with sin. But that's not our God. To emphasize God's anger and judgment without understanding that incredible love of God, you're going to end up with an image of a God who is vindictive and vengeful. That's not our God. And the biggest problem with modern day Christian is that they want to pick and choose instead of understanding and comprehending the true character of our God. We have become so sentimental that we want to create a God to fit our fancy. I mean, we want to create a God that fits our liking. No wonder every survey has been showing that about 50% of the people in the churches in America, they behave, think, and live just like the unbelievers outside of the church. When people scoffed at the fact that Jesus promised to return and He did not return, back at the time of Peter, Peter in 2 Peter 3:9 says that it is His patience that is keeping Him from coming back. Why? Because when He comes back, His judgment is going to be final and swift. But I must tell you something else about judgment that I don't want you ever to forget it. You see, the judgment of God is not, and this is where the language gets all muddled. The judgment of God is not God sitting there, I'm going to sock it to them. You know, this is what we feel. No. That's not the judgment of God. The judgment of God is the natural consequences of sin. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as a restrainer. So far, the Holy Spirit has been restraining us from getting all the consequences that are the natural consequences of sin, the natural consequences of disobedience, the natural consequences of ignoring God and refusing to listen to the voice of God. Yes, there are some things. There are earthquakes where tens of thousands of people die. There are shootings. There are floods. There are all kinds of things. But still, the restraining hand of God is still there. In my personal opinion, I can't prove it to you from the Word of God, it's my personal opinion that probably the restraining hand of God is beginning to be taken away. And when the hand of God completely is pulled out after His believers are taken up to heaven, I want to tell you, if you think what we're seeing right now is bad, you don't want to be around when that finally happens. And if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, this be the day. I don't want to be around in the day of judgment when finally the restraining hand of God is taken away and people get the consequences and get the natural wages of sin. But because our knowledge of the character of God is so muddied and muddled, it is natural that our understanding of our anger to be muddied and muddled. Let me give you some examples and see if you can identify with one of those. There are some people who repress their anger. Why? Because they think that anger is always wrong. There are others who may not repress their anger, but they suppress it. You say the two are different? Yes. The suppressor will say, any anger of any kind, whatever, for whatever reason, is just not spiritual. It's just not spiritual. Okay, so I want to say, what about this time when Jesus went to the temple and He kicked some people out of there? Well, close the supermarket outside the temple. Look, suppression of anger is always expressed in that pale face, the pierced lips, you know? I mean, or leaving quietly, never to come back. That's a suppressed anger. I want to tell you, suppression of anger is when hurt, resentment, coldness, fury, bitterness abound below the surface. The tragedy is that those folks think that it is not spiritual to be transparent and be open and openly deal with whatever it is that is eating them up. While I believe, in fact, that what the suppressors are doing is not spiritual. Why? Because they are destroying their health. Suppression or repression can lead to depression. And that is not what patience is. Well, then there's a third group. This particular person would say, man, that's not me. You're not talking about me. I am the kind of person who let it all hang out. I mean, when I get mad, everybody knows it. I let everybody know. You're probably as proud of your forthrightness just as the suppressors of anger are proud of their false self-control. There's no reason for either to be the case because neither of those are biblical. Those who suppress their anger need to learn to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And developing the fruit of the Spirit is in patience is to develop an expression, proper, godly, biblical expression of your anger. Those hot-headed people need to develop the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, that is, learning to be slow to anger. I tell you, that is an incredible balance that I personally crave. I tell you, honestly. Parents who have little ones understand how harassing they can be. I mean, you know, those of us who had little ones all under six or whatever, it's a challenge to have this balance and not fly off the handle. And I know I made my fair share of mistakes about this, and I let my children talk to me about this. Listen, whatever you do, don't confuse patience as the fruit of the Spirit with false patience or fake endurance. Don't confuse the two. There are some people who are just too lazy to respond, you know. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. There are some people who are just so proud that they would not dignify with a response. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. There are some people who are just insensitive to criticism. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. All of these may come across to us as long-suffering. They may come across to us as patience, but in reality they are not. Listen to me, please. The source of true long-suffering and patience is the Holy Spirit of God. The motive for true long-suffering, the motive for true patience is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. It is what makes you patient. It is what makes you long-suffering that really counts. When you are long-suffering and patient with those who persecute you for the sake of your faith, for those who harass you at the workplace because of your faith, you are truly demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. When you are long-suffering and patient in overcoming sin, in overcoming temptation, in having victory over sin and temptation, you are truly demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. When you overcome, when everybody is around you is trying shortcuts, those are trying to cut corners, when those around you are taking it easy and not working hard, but you choose the hard work, you choose standing for the truth, you choose the doing the right thing, you are indeed exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. When you do not see visible reward for your faithfulness, when you do not see swift justice, and you are tempted to give in and give up, but you persevere and you stand firm, that is the exhibiting of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you, not only my personal conviction, learned through hard ways and hard means and long time, not only my personal conviction, but also my firsthand experience on the subject. One of the major causes, if not the major causes, for impatience is ignorance. Yep, you heard me right, ignorance. You want me to repeat it? Ignorance. When your horizon is limited, when your focus is your little world, when your vision extends no further than the tip of your nose, when you experience frustrations in life, you will be impatient. When you do not have and live with eternity in mind, with eternity as your focus, when you get in the tough times of life, you will become angry and enraged. When you cannot see God's big picture, every time you face a minor problem in life, fear and anger will be your normal reaction. And that is why children are impatient. That's why they are, you know, they'll throw a tantrum, and that's why they are demanding, you know, and they will keep nagging you until you give them what they want. Or why? Why kids are like that? I'll tell you why. Because they think that the world revolves around them. They are ignorant of the big picture. They cannot see it. I mean, they can't help it. I'm not blaming them. Don't misunderstand me. They have an excuse, but we don't. Because they are so self-focused. I read about the father, you know, who was driving from Mexico City all the way to Colorado on a fishing trip with his son. And both were looking forward to that so much. And the little fella kept saying, how many miles? And the father would say, 250. He waited just a little while. He said, how many miles? He would say, 230. How many miles? He said, 200. The boy was really frustrated. And finally, he said, well, Dad, he said, will we get there before my sixth birthday? You see, ignorance causes impatience. Conversely, faith knowledge is vital ingredients for patience. Faith knowledge is vital ingredients for patience. Christian patience is based upon the absolute, not just head knowledge, but knowledge of understanding that permeates all of one's life. It is absolute belief that conditions every minute of every day that God is sovereign, that He is at work on behalf of His children. Christian patience stems from the knowledge that they will not be forgotten nor forsaken by the very God to whom they have committed their souls. Christian patience springs from the expectancy that the God who loved them, the God who died for them, the God who cares for every detail of their life is soon coming back to take them home. And here's the formula that works for me all the time, every time, never missed. It's a formula that always works for me, with impatience, that is. The more you forget your real home,
The more you treat this world as your real home, the more impatient you'll become with the aggravations of life. The only thing that works and will work is when you begin to focus on heaven as your home. That nothing in this life is to be compared with the glory that is awaiting us. We have lost sight of that in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is why we get impatient. That is why we get irritated. That's why we get aggravated. Because we have lost the true destiny that it is heaven. It is heaven. As I conclude, let me tell you three examples that James gives us. James chapter 5, beginning verse 7. He gives us three examples that spurs us into patience and perseverance and long-suffering. First, he said in verse 7, you must understand the laws of farming. You know, if the farmer keeps on digging the seed every few days to see how it's doing, he will never get a harvest. He'll never get a harvest. Like the farmer says, James, we must obediently be patient for God's timing. You know, the farmer does not confuse waiting with laziness. And I don't want you to either. While he is waiting for the harvest, he is working, repairing the harvest equipment, repairing silos, working on the barns and getting things ready. He's working all the time while he's waiting for God's timing and the harvest time. The second thing James said, verse 10 of chapter 5, he said, the righteous does suffer for his righteousness. You know, the martyrs who suffered for the sake of Christ, and this is not the first century, right now, this day and age, people are being martyred for the sake of Christ right now. The reason they are persecuted for the faith, the reason they are martyred for the faith is because the world system hates God, hates the truth, and hates the followers of Jesus Christ. Now, when you suffer as a result of your sin and be patient in that situation, you're not doing God any favors. You're not going to get a reward for this one. But when you are patient with injustice, with things that are happening that is totally out of your control, God has a great reward for you. And don't forget that. And the third thing James said, verse 11, he said, remember Job. Remember Job. Even God seemed to deal unfairly with Job. Although we know that it's Satan, the author of evil, instigated it all. But Job blamed God. But listen to what James said. Remember the great outcome and the joy that follows as the reward for patience. Look forward to that, and you will grow as you cultivate the fruit of patience.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Dr. Michael Youssef and Leading the Way. It's hard to believe, but Christmas holidays are just a few short weeks away. That's why I'd like to encourage you to consider Dr. Youssef's most recent book as a possible gift for friends and family. It's called Winning the Invisible War. Give the gift of biblical perspective in the challenging days in which we live when you order Winning the Invisible War. The number is 1-300-133-589. Or order securely and quickly online at ltw.org. And Dr. Youssef always enjoys getting your mail, so write to Leading the Way, P.O. Box 1900, Penrith, New South Wales, 27511. Thank you for listening today. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef, passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth around the world.